And if you wonder what my name is Jerry. Last name, Z. And my college buddies call me Jay-Z from Queens, not Brooklyn. And I wanted to give you a little background because when Sean asked me to preach today, this was from a month ago, I was not in the best of state. And I'll be fully transparent with you all. The last week of February, my grandmother passed away. She was 95, and I want to thank the church to pray for myself and my family. I really appreciated that, so thank you. And then the last week of March, we buried her. We buried her remains. So I was mourning for my grandmother. She was 95 years old. She had definitely had a full life. And a little bit of her background. So my grandmother, I know the culture here in the United States, sometimes you call them Big Mama. And she helped raise me when I was a toddler. Because my parents left for the United States when I was about 10 months or 11 months old. So I didn't know who my parents were until much later. And then my grandmother, she was in her late 40s. She decided to retire early so that she can help raise me. And she did that for over 8 years. So she's definitely very close to my heart. And I remember one time I was a very naughty boy. I know that's not true, right? I know that's not true. But it happened. And we got into an argument. I don't remember what argument it was. And I bit her. And her hand was bleeding. And of course, you know what happens next, right? My grandfather's like, we're not having this. There's discipline going to be. There's going to be some discipline here. And I absolutely deserved it, without a doubt. And so, in the old days, right? Back in the day, you know, when you get disciplined, you have to kneel down. I know it may not have happened to you. But that's what happened to me. I had to kneel down and get myself prepared for what's coming. And as if the discipline was going to get going, my grandmother used her body to shield me from getting disciplined. So I was really mourning for her loss the last week of March. And then that same weekend, the last weekend of March, my uncle's funeral happened as well. I don't know my uncle very well, but we have seen each other. So it happened the same week. And then the very next week, April 1st, I'll never forget it. I know a lot of folks think, oh, it's April Fool's. True. In the United States, it is April Fool's. But for I work for the feds. And on April 1st, it was Tuesday morning, over 10,000 employees got notified that they're getting fired. It was officially called the reduction in force. Many of them, they didn't know that they were getting fired. In fact, they were heading to wherever they at, across the country. And they can't even get into their offices, cubicles, wherever they work, because their ID were canceled. So they could not even get in the door. They're like, what's going on? It was working fine yesterday. Why is this not working now? So other folks like myself had to let them in. And then once they open up their email box, they were notified they're gone. And the email box will be shut down within 1 hour of opening your email. And so they had to pack up whatever that they could pack up within that time frame. And I had to help my immediate supervisor shake his hand and help walk him out for the last time. So that was happening that week. And what happens next? I got a text from Sean. Brother, we're excited. And see if it's possible that you can preach for today. And I'm like, is this a joke? God, what are you trying to do to me here? Sean, the text sent out by accident? I checked. It was not an accident. It was real. I was like, I didn't know what to say. I did not know what to think. I said, I need some time to really think it through. And then 24 hours later, I said, Sean, I'm going to do it. And I was like, I think, you know what? God is trying to show me, even though when we have hard times, even though we could be in the state of mourning, what have you, we can still glorify God. So, with that, I know my time is short, and I don't want to keep you here for another 3 hours. So, let me get the ball rolling to the next slide. So, I was thinking, well, what can I preach on? Being active duty military? It didn't even take me half a second. Leaving no one behind. This is a military ethos. I know some of folks here have served. Thank you for your service. And being that we're now in the 21st century, we check everything with AI. So I check. What does the AI say about the military ethos of leaving no one behind? Well, the AI says it is often referred to as the warrior ethos. It is a set of beliefs, values, and attitudes that characterize a specific group, particularly those in the military, that defines their moral character and how they approach their profession. It's a way of life that emphasizes duty, courage, honor, and commitment to the mission and the well-being of their comrades. I was like, man, AI is good. I can add anything better than that. That was AI is good. So, what are some of the examples of the warrior ethos in action? Placing the mission first. Soldiers prioritize completing their mission, even if it means making personal sacrifices, sometimes the ultimate sacrifice. Never accepting defeat. The military ethos encourages soldiers to persevere and never give up. According to the Naval Special Warfare Command, never leaving a fallen comrade. Soldiers are expected to protect and support their fellow soldiers even in the face of danger. Moral courage. Standing up for what is right, even when it's difficult or unpopular, is a key aspect of the warrior ethos. So, I know some of you probably have seen this movie, Forrest Gump. And I saw it, this came out in the 90s, so it came out a little while ago. And I saw it, I think, when I was a teenager, what have you, back in the day. And there's a lot of different themes in that movie. And just talking about the Vietnam War. By the way, this is a fact. The Vietnam War ended this past week, 50 years anniversary. It ended in 1975, this past week. So when I saw that movie as a kid, it's different nowadays because for me, as I get a little bit older, it changes. As you watch different things, read different things over time. So for me, there were a lot of different, like I said, a lot of different themes floating in that movie. But one of the things that really sticked out to me, now that I'm active duty, is when his platoon got ambushed in where they were at. And so his platoon leader, Lieutenant Dang, was ready to give up. That's it, I'm done. We got ambushed. I'm going to stay here with my entire platoon as they get shot at. Tom Hanks, his role, he never gave up. And he said, no, I'm going to get you guys out of here. And he, one by one, he took his platoon, as many of them as he could, physically out. And Lieutenant Dan was screaming at him and said, what are you doing? You're going to get yourself killed. And then I remember he said, I need to get back and get my Bubba, his battle buddy. And that's Bubba right there in his arms. And so it really hit a nerve for me in terms of what it means to have the warrior ethos, leaving no one behind in that movie. I know my time is short, so we're going to skip to the next slide. This is a more recent conflict, Black Hawk Down. This one came out in 2002. I wish I could talk a little bit more, but our time is limited, and I don't want to keep you for the next 5 hours. So I'm going to skip over that. But just one little thing is that with regards to Black Hawk Down, that movie, some of the special forces got pinned down in that movie, and they were asking other personnel to go in and get and rescue them. And every one of them said, let's go. Every one of them raised their hand. And, of course, they had limited capacity transportation-wise. So they couldn't get everybody to go, but every one of them said, let's do it. We're gonna get our guys out of there. And so, yeah. Now, you said all of that, Jerry. Jay-Z, you haven't mentioned a word of Jesus. What's going on, man? We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. So with that, here's Jesus. Now, Jesus was not a military warrior in the traditional sense. But did he have ethos too? That was homework for myself. And I had to study that out myself. So there are some points I want to lay out. And you can do yours as well. But this is what I discovered along the way. And the first one is, Jesus does not leave the young behind. What are you talking about, the young behind, the young? Well, time for us to flip the pages of the Bible. Let's go to Matthew 19, 14, please. All right, I got an old school Bible, so bear with me here. I got to flip. So it says in Matthew 19, 14. Let me read verse 13 as well. It's together. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I want to make it very clear here. I think sometimes the biggest obstacles is us. We need to look at the people in the mirror, ourselves. Are we building up our kids or are we hindering them? If you read this scripture, that's what the disciples were doing. They were hindering the kids. They were not building the kids up. And when Jesus saw that, he said, "No. We are not having that today. Let the kids come. Let me put my hands on them. Let me pray for them." I want to give a huge shout out to our teachers, to our safety team, to our youth and family, and the rest of you who have interacted with the kids day in and day out. Please, please, and please build them up. Do not hinder them. And Jesus recognized that. And I appreciate Jesus so much. And I remember, I'll give one more example for, I know Apollo, he's my 9-year-old. One day he approached me, he said, "Dad, will I be raised up after I pass?" 9 years old. I said, "Apollo, that's a really deep question." But okay. I mean, that's an excellent question. Yes, you can and you will raised up if you are a follower of Jesus. Jesus made it very clear. Great question, Apollo. You got me pretty good. I had to reflect as well. You just don't know what the kids come out and say sometimes. And sometimes they can ask some really deep stuff, which is great, which is great. Next point. Jesus does not leave the sick, the frail, and the afflicted behind. Let's go to Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26, verse 6 and 7, and it reads, "While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. And a bunch of different things going on, but I do want to emphasize this. Who does Jesus hang out with? He's hanging out with the lepers. Now, for those of you who are not sure what the lepers do or what historical background, the lepers are an ostracized group in the ancient days. If you have a leper around the neighborhood, you're staying in that corner and don't come near here, period. Everybody looks down upon them. And if they are passing by, they have to scream out loud, lepers, lepers, and lepers, and what have you. And then everybody else move away. They're nobody. And yet, Jesus hang out with this guy, Simon the leper. And not only that, he's in a very comfortable position. He's reclined at the table. He's chilling with his dude. What? Jesus, are you okay? Are you thinking straight? No, I think Jesus is very straight. I think he's thinking very good. And he knows what he was doing. He was healing the body and the hearts of not just the leper community, but everybody around him. And I wanted to also give a shout out to my brother here, Uriel, who has been coordinating and sending out reminders to regarding our shut-in brothers and sisters. We can give a hand to Uriel. We cannot forget our shut-in brothers and sisters. And I'm actually going to say the names. Cheryl Johnson, Shayla Walker, Doris Jones, Daniel Duffy, which he's in the photo here, with my brother Mike, Desmond Clark. And I want to give another shout out to my community group. We're going to be visiting Cheryl Johnson later today. And then later this month, we're going to be also visiting Daniel Duffy again. We call it the month of encouragement. Because we have an amazing example in Jesus. And he definitely does not leave the sick, the frail, and the afflicted behind. Who are we to not forget them? Jesus does not leave those who have been gone behind. First, let's go to John. Then I'll explain the photo. John 11, verse 1 through 8. It says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord." Remember the previous verse that we read? "And wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were there trying to stone you, and yet you are going back?" He said, "Yeah, he's going back." And we're going to go down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Just for the sake of time, we're going to skip down a little bit more. It says that in verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" They didn't believe Jesus could do it. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, Jesus had the authority and the power to raise the dead. I do not, unfortunately. We do not. But their legacy, those who have passed on, lives through us. And I want to speak specifically for myself and my wife Coco in this picture. We are forever thankful for Cedric, for Faith. Because when we were dating a number of years ago, it was Cedric and Faith that stepped in and said, "You know what? We could help you with your dating relationship." And not only that, we have a vision for you guys. And of course, we got married after, and then we became team workers. I know faith is no longer physically with us. But her legacy is forever. The impact that she made, forever. And I think what Jesus shown here is that, yes, Lazarus was gone physically, but he was able to raise him and show everybody who is the true authority here. Who has the power here? It's him. And I cannot thank Cedric and Faith enough. And I'm sure you have some people in your lives who have passed on, but you still remember what they did for you, the sacrifices that they made for you so that you can be here today. No different. Next point, Jesus does not leave those who are weak in the faith behind. Let's go to Matthew 26. Trying to get there. Okay, found it. Okay, Matthew 26. Verse 31, then Jesus told him, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. Now, those of you who have read the Bible, been around for a little while, you know exactly what happens next. Peter disowns Jesus three times, just like Jesus said. And then we're gonna go to verse. Let's see here. Oh, yep, that's right. So we'll go to John here. We'll skip the other one. We'll go to John. John 21. Verse 15. It says here, when they had finished eating, now this is Jesus came back. Not only he came back, he showed up at Peter's place. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I love it. Yeah, Peter definitely, he had a lot of flaws. Some of the flaws I can definitely relate. But man, disowning Jesus three times, that's a whole different level altogether. And he did. But Jesus did not abandon Peter. Jesus actually went back. And he wanted to raise him up. Even though his faith was weak, he saw that. Jesus saw that. But Jesus did not abandon him. Jesus said, you know, you're going to come with me. You're going to be the leader of this group. Now, this photo here, I won't say his name. He's a brother. And my first duty station out in Washington State, I had to drive 3 hours because that was the closest church to where I was at station-wise. And I would actually stay at this brother's house on the weekend so that I won't drive back and forth. And he allowed me to stay at his place. So I'm very thankful for his hospitality. And he was going through some rough patches. Don't we all? And he didn't want to show up for a service for Sunday. And that happened repetitively. And I was trying to help him out. He said, I didn't want to go. I said, okay, amen, all right. Fine. But I said, can I still stay at your place? He said, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can. It's all right. Yeah, you can stay at my place. So I stayed at his place every weekend for the next 3 months. And I would ask him every Sunday morning, I'm going to service. Would you like to come with me? No. 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 Okay. The end of that third month, he said, when I asked him again, Jerry, I'll go with you. I'm going to go with you. And he came back. And this, I want to say this, is that there are some folks that you know that may be going through some tough times. You can still help them out in whichever shape that may be. And you may not know the kind of impact that it may have on them, but you can make that impact. Amen. And with that, last point, Jesus does not leave even the enemies and criminals behind. I said, Jesus, you are something else, man. You are something else. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 39. 23:39. Here we go. Okay. One of the criminals who hung there heard insults at him, Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Even a criminal who deserved just punishment, Jesus said, no, you know what? You're coming with me. I am not leaving you behind. For the sake of time, I'm going to move on. But you can, on your own time, take a look at Acts 9, verse 1 through 15. And this is talking about Saul, who was the enemy of Christians. Jesus called him out. So with that, in summary, leaving no one behind. Jesus does not leave the young behind. Jesus does not leave the sick, the frail, and the afflicted behind. Jesus does not leave those who have been gone behind. Jesus does not leave those who are weak in the faith behind. Jesus does not, last point, Jesus does not leave even the enemies and criminals behind. And with that, that's it.